This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got my friend Greg Kelly on the line from World Mission. We're talking about Nigeria, and as you have probably seen, we've done several stories about the rampant persecution there, and World Mission, you guys have addressed it multiple times, and I want to start with this update about the Nigerian government telling people in Zamfara state to, quote, arm themselves. And Greg, I'm just wondering, what does that say about the state of security there for people who might not be aware?
Well, I think Nigeria, unfortunately, has just been a tinderbox really for decades. And it really, the root of it, Katie, really goes to the core issue, which is the diversity, the tremendous diversity. Nigeria has greater diversity than any country in the entire continent of Africa. To make that case, when you look at the diversity, you're talking about people groups. And inside of Nigeria, one country, there's 538 different ethnic groups or people groups. That's more than Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, and South Africa combined. So there's tremendous diversity inside of that. And within that diversity comes a gap between Christianity and Islam. Now, the majority of the people groups or nations in the southern part of Nigeria are almost exclusively Christian. And also in the northern part, it's almost exclusively Islamic. So that center dividing line, interestingly, where the capital of Abuja happens to be, is sort of the gap. It's the dividing line between north and south, and where Christianity and Islam collide. Those are the places where the greatest amount of tension has been happening. The Christians that lived in the northern part over the last 20 years have largely been run out of northern Nigeria, literally hunted down by these Islamic groups that are terrorizing people. They're burning down houses and villages. Of course, we're all familiar with the Boko Haram activity. And I think at some point, the government sort of responds. They throw their arms up in the air and they say, hey, you're kind of on your own. Get ready sort of to protect yourself. And this call to arms is essentially a reaction to that.
I can't imagine being in a position like that. And, you know, it's interesting because this week, the International Religious Freedom Summit is going on in Washington, D.C. Nigeria is one of the highlights. And there is a connection that they're talking about between religious freedom and national security, kind of just like we were talking about with arming themselves and stuff in Nigeria. What might we expect to come out of a summit like this? Is it just more awareness, or, you know, kind of, I guess, is there any teeth to it?
I think a lot of this is just rhetoric. It's quite honestly and unfortunately empty words, because the truth of the matter is there's two issues that are working together that are contributing to the tinderbox of Nigeria that puts us in this perpetual state of chaos. The first side of it is the Christian leaders are weak. They are not taking a stand on this. They're afraid. Now, that's not to say everybody, but most of the Christian presence aren't confronting this. And I think really when you're dealing with these type of moral issues, it's critical that in any country, the Christian leaders step up as a force, a united force as one, and speak against it. And that's just not happening because of the fear. And the other side of it is the leadership that's in place right now are primarily Islamic leaders from the Fulani people group. And this is not to just declare judgment on that specific people group, but the truth is that there's tremendous corruption at the highest levels of Nigeria. And this government is just kind of turning a blind eye to the horrors that are happening in the northern part. So the Islamic mobs, if you will, are acting, recognizing that there is not going to be consequences to their behaviors. And so you have those two forces that are at work right now that are really perpetuating the crisis in Nigeria.
And I know you guys had two bases or centers in Nigeria that were attacked last year. I was wondering if you could update us and kind of what's happened since that happened, because we heard about the attacks and then wondering what happened in the year since.
As followers of Jesus, we need to be mindful of the spiritual condition in any country that we're going to work in. And we need to look at through the lens of people groups. And as I said, there's over 530 different people groups in Nigeria. Now, the majority of those in the northern part are unreached, or i.e. they don't have access to the gospel. People groups like the Hausa, like the Fulani, like the Kanuri. And Katie, if you were to take those three people groups and pile them together and broke them into groups of 10,000 people, you would find one follower of Jesus. That's the state in northern Nigeria. And so as a result, the body of Christ, when we're mobilizing missionary works, whether it's our prayers, whether it's our resources, sending Bibles, doing water projects, sending missionaries, doing leadership training, whatever the manifestation of missions happens to be, we need to consider the condition, the spiritual condition of the area before we mobilize those resources. And we should be prioritizing the northern part, even though the Fulani herdsmen, even though Boko Haram is running Christians out of town, attacking them, that is where the gospel presence is needed. And so World Mission emphasizes those areas. And as a result, there's difficulties, there's challenges. I mean, we are constantly relocating our indigenous missionaries who are being attacked. They're under the threat. They're being, their families have been kidnapped. We've lost leaders in the northern part. But that is where the name of Jesus is unknown. So we can't recoil back as the body of Christ out of fear. We have to lean into these places. Northern Nigeria is exhibit A. The body of Christ is on watch right now. Are we going to be faithful to Jesus' last words, the Great Commission, taking the gospel to all nations? Or are we just going to go to the places where we're welcomed, where the applause comes, where we can get our Me Mission selfie photos, and that's southern Nigeria? No, we need to go to the northern part. And yes, we have had attacks. We've had two of our centers that have been attacked in the last few months because of this, but nobody is packing up their bags and moving out. As a matter of fact, the people that we're working there, they're recruiting more and more missionaries who are motivated out of a heart of compassion to take the gospel of Jesus Christ where it's never been.
And, you know, we're talking to people largely in the West. And I mean, there are exceptions, but they're probably, for the majority, aren't going to pack up and relocate to Nigeria. So how can they respond to a story like this? What are some action points where they can really dig in and say, yes, I want to make a difference. I don't know how. What can they do?
Well, when Jesus said his last words, which are found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 8, and said to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The truth of the matter is most Americans living in the United States don't have an expression, or at least an easy expression, of ends of the earth. I mean, there's nobody that most people who are listening to this today are going to be in the ends of the earth today. It's because the gospel is very accessible here in America. Now, you can make a case for the Somalis or some of these refugee people groups that are coming in that are cut off. In Dearborn, Michigan, that's a good example. You could make a case that's still unreached. But largely, the unreached people groups of the world, 99% are in the Eastern Hemisphere. And so we're not going to go there, but that doesn't mean we can't participate. Jesus called us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. That's a great place to start and praying. And on our tongue needs to be the nations or the people groups like the Hausa, like the Fulani, like the Kanuri, not just Nigeria. Jesus didn't die for countries. He died for people groups. And as we're praying to the Lord of the harvest, we need to say, Lord, we pray for the Hausa people, 36 million people that are less than 1% Christian. Father, send laborers to the Hausa, the Fulani, the Kanuri. And then we need to get behind people. We need to get financially behind organizations like World Mission and other organizations. For us, when people financially support us, Katie, we send solar-powered audio Bibles in the Hausa, Fulani, and Kanuri languages. We mobilize indigenous leaders that are uprooting and going into those places. But the person in Michigan or Ohio or Florida, they don't have to do that, but yet they are equal participants in it when they're praying for it and when they're financially investing in it. So it's not about us going anywhere. To reach the ends of the earth, we can be intimate participants right from where we live, but we have to engage with organizations like World Mission. Go to worldmission.cc, that's our website. And people can just connect with us. We'll send God's word to places it's never been. That's one great example of how you can participate.